Well, I too want to welcome you to Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And like I ask probably every week, isn't it a good day to be in God's house? That's right, it is. And so we want to take time today as we continue in our series, The Devoted Life. We've been looking at Romans chapter 12. We're now in chapter 13, and throughout the coming months, we're going to finish out the book of Romans. And I have to say, it was good just for just personally to get away for a couple weeks. But I'm excited to be back and to be a part of this community of faith here at Hope. And as we began our series, The Devoted Life, we talked about that we are devoted to Christ because He is devoted to us. He was devoted to us first. He loved us first. He gave Himself for us. And that's what is going to be the challenge. That's what's going to be the encouragement for you and I, not just in a series here at Hope, but in our daily lives. One of the things that we were also challenged with was to memorize a passage of Scripture that's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And I hope that you've been doing that, because what the Bible tells us is, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And like I said, I hope that this is not just a serious thing, but it's at an everyday life, every moment, that we choose to devote ourselves to Christ. So this morning, I want to start out with Would You Rather. Anybody ever play Would You Rather? Okay, maybe two of you. So how it works is that I'm going to ask you a question, and immediately you're going to turn to the person on your left and your right and just give the answer, okay, that you would choose. Okay, so to your left and to your right. So here we go. The first question is this. Would you rather be famous or the best friend of someone who is famous? Go. All right, that's it. Next question. Here we go. Would you rather find true love or $10 million? Go. All right, we got to move on. Next one. Listen, if you have Jesus, you have true love, so $10 million isn't bad, is it? Okay. Here's the last question. Would you rather live in a world that breaks out in song or kung fu fighting? Would you rather live in a world that breaks out in song or kung fu fighting? Go. All right. So we had to make some quick decisions, didn't we? And it was just like these snap choices that we had. Now, I would love a world where we break out into song with kung fu fighting. That would be pretty cool. But that's where we want to go today. We want to take some time here in Romans 13 and talk about decisions. Because each of us have choices that we make daily. And some of those choices are easy, like, you know, well, maybe not for some of us, but what to wear. Or, you know, maybe it's like, do I brush my teeth this morning? Yes, that's a good thing. But then there's harder decisions. Of how do I relate to that person at my job who just drives me up a wall? Or how am I going to make it through this day when I know there are things in my life that God has been really nudging me on? So that's where we want to go this morning. And the Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 14, it says, "So fear the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly." In other words, with everything that you are. "But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve." So that's a decision that we have to make day by day, moment by moment. And there are a lot of times I know in my own life where I choose to follow what's best for me. And I leave God out of the equation. And yet what I realize, I don't know about you, but I've realized that I am absent of what God has for me in my life. But yet what we can know today, as we look at this passage of Scripture, that we can have a full life in Christ now. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to give us a life that's abundant, that's overflowing, not giving us what we want, but a full life of Him. And also what we can know is that as a follower of Christ, we can live, as we've been singing today, we can live with the end in mind. We can live with an eternal perspective. So as we look at this passage today, what Paul is doing is he's setting up for us how to act as followers of Christ and how to interact, how to love those who are outside a community of faith. And then he begins to take us from the horizontal as we began our series, and then he's going to take us back to the vertical. So if you have your Bible with you, let's turn to Romans chapter 13 together. Romans chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 8 through 14. And as we're getting prepared to read God's word, we saw again, we've talked about devotion, we've talked about love, and we also talked about submission throughout these past couple of weeks together. So let's look here together, beginning in verse 8. Paul says, "Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." Then Paul goes on in verse 11, he says, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in the carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your flesh." And so Paul takes these first several verses, 8 through 10, and he talks about this idea of loving outside our community of faith. And then he moves into, listen, there's an end that is coming. And let us begin to live in the light of the hope that we have. And so what we want to do, if you're following along your outlines, is I want to touch on a few things that we find here in the verses. And then I want to talk to us about how we can practically live this out and talking about living a life that's built to last. And so as we begin in verses 8 to 10, Paul speaks of continuing debt. Continuing debt. What he's telling us, he's saying there is a different kind of love that I'm speaking of. The debt that Paul is talking about is not one that is monetary. Now we know that it's not a good idea to be in debt, but what he's saying here is that if there's one thing that I want for you to get, if there's one thing that I want you to begin to live out, that's a life of love, and that's it. And for you and I, as followers of Christ, we have a responsibility to love those who we may not get along with, love those who may have a differing opinions on life, may live a different way than we do. You know, it's like the Hard Rock Cafe motto, which is love all, serve all. And you may think and ask the question, wait, so you mean that I have to love those individuals in that way? You mean that there are difficult people in my life that I have to love? Yes, that's what Paul is saying. This love is unending. This love goes on and on and on. Because we know from the scriptures that God is love. That is who he is. That is his character. And Paul himself even said in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, if I don't have love, I am nothing. And I even thought about that. I'm going, wait, if I don't allow God to rule my heart, then I'm nothing. And so we go on to see here that Paul lets us know that if we loved others like we love ourselves, could you imagine what that would look like? Because that's our bent, isn't it? Our bent is me, 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 me. I want what I want, and I don't like what you want, or I don't want to share. I mean, just look at children when they play together, right? And so what Paul wants us to remember is that if you begin to understand that you can love, and if you love like you love yourself, you're not going to have any problem with the shall nots. That's what's going on here. And then the question is why? Because would you and I want to have the same thing done to us as we do to others? Well, probably, yeah. We want to be treated fairly, don't we? Absolutely. But yet here, what we can understand about this love, who God is in Christ, he equips us to love those who we may not get along with or may show us how to love in an active way. I think sometimes we get caught up at times where we think it's an emotion, it's a feeling. But here is what Paul is telling us, this is active. This is, love is a verb here. But you can get your strength. You can draw from the source of power through Jesus Christ. Because in the Old Testament, there were situations in where someone could practice love. But yet, as we, several weeks ago, we had devotions that were given out that talked about 30 days of representing. In other words, what does it look like to live like Jesus? And there were passages in there that talked about how Jesus acted towards others and behaved. And then there was others of living a Christ-like example. And that's what we're talking about here. Even Jesus said to his disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." Now, again, Jesus was talking specifically to his disciples, but this goes beyond that now. I have people in my own life where, for me, it's easier to love people who are easy to love. I don't know about you. And then the people who are difficult to love, I sometimes tend to stray away. But what God has continued to teach me is, like, draw from me. I'm your source of love. I will equip you to do that. You will have peace when you follow in my ways. And so wherever you are with that, there may be people you're thinking right now, yes, I know who I'm thinking of. They're difficult, you know, or, you know, they're just sometimes unlovable. No matter what I do, nothing is good. But what Paul is saying here, he said, just love and let me do the work, not only in you, but through you. And so what Paul did in those verses 8 to 10, he talked to us about putting this idea of love into practice. But now he says, because of that, I want to give you the reason why we want to do that in our daily lives. In verses 11 to 14, Paul speaks of the dark and the light. And what he's talking about is what to wear. And when he spoke of the dark, he spoke of our earthly life now. So if we are looking from a spiritual context, the world that we live in is broken. The world is broken because of sin. And there are things that we look around in the world and we go, why is that going on? Because at the heart of it, our human condition said, we don't need God. We can be our own God. And what we also see about the light is that Paul is speaking of the person of Christ. Because there was a dark world, and God sent his one and only Son to be light in that dark world. And God said, I'll show you what love is. You look at my Son, and you'll see love. You want to know who I am? You follow my Son. And Paul says that our salvation is closer than it was the moment that we believed. For some of us, it has been many years. For others, it's been a very short time. But there is a day that is coming when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will return for his family, and we will live for him, and we will celebrate him forever. And that is, I cannot wait for that day. But it's closer than it was a week ago. It's closer than yesterday. It's closer than 10 o'clock. But the day that we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we look forward to that day. And our salvation will be complete when we are with him. For now, God has given us his Spirit to reside in us and live in us as his promise that he will be back. When my wife and I went away to Nashville, our daughter stayed with another family. And what we had done is just to say, make sure that you behave in the way that you would behave on the best that you can. And so while we were away, we would get texts or we would get phone calls like, I miss you guys, I love you very much. But we came back, and it was a great time. And that's what I think about here, is that you and I have been saved for God's purposes on this earth, and we have been saved from eternal separation. And we're saying to him, God, we love you. We want to represent you well until you come back. Emily had the choice to live how she wanted. I'm not with mom and dad. I'll just do my thing. Now, that wouldn't have been good for the family that watched her. Would have been very difficult. But don't we do that at times? God, thank you for saving my life, but I'm just going to do my deal until you return. And yet, it's a decision that we have to say, God, what I'm devoted to is going to impact my today. It's going to impact my tomorrow. And it may even impact my forever. And yet he's wanting for us to be people who are saying, I miss you and I love you very much. What is it that you want from me in this life now? The Bible tells us this. It says in Galatians chapter 5, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Paul says we need to wake up. In other words, we can begin to live with a sense of urgency. We can begin to put things into practice and into play. We don't have to wear the dark anymore. We have been raised to life in Christ. Death has been defeated. Jesus is not in the grave anymore. And we can live in that truth. And just like Emily, behaving to the best of her ability, because we didn't get any bad reports. But what was great here is that it's just like you and I in our Christian life, is that we are showing the world that our allegiance is to Jesus. And not only that, we wait for our salvation to become very real. And I hope that it's real for you now, but what's to come, can't even compare. And so, here's what I want to encourage us with. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. It says, put on the full armor of God. And I have my friend here. He's my suit of armor, so I'm going to get to him in just a second. But speaking of putting on Christ each day, I remember when my grandfather on my dad's side passed away several years ago. And when my dad called me, he said, your grandmother would like you to be a part of the funeral service. And I said, sure, no problem. So I flew down to Louisiana, and I was only going to be there just a couple of days for the viewing and for the funeral, and then go home. And so what happened was is that I brought a suit for the funeral, because in Louisiana, you wear a suit, okay? I'm just saying, that's how you do things down there. You always wear a suit. But anyway, and then I brought a dress shirt and jeans for the viewing. So I was staying with my uncle, and when we were getting ready to go to the viewing, I came out, and he said, you're not wearing that to my daddy's viewing, are you? And I just turned around and went right back in the room. I was like, well, obviously not. But I tell you what, Febreze works. I'm just saying, because I wore the suit for 2 days. But think about it. It says, put on the full armor of God. This suit of armor here, if you notice, it's completely covered. Front and back. You know, when we go to war, they didn't just not cover their backside and just go out forward. Or they said, well, you know, maybe this time I'm not going to take my sword. Or, you know, I don't need my shield. They put on the full armor to protect themselves. And they brought others around them who would protect themselves, standing back to back, fighting. And so for you and I, we may have the question asked of us by God, you're not wearing that, are you? I know I do. There's times where, you know, I miss time spending time with God, reading his word, or going to him first in times of crises. But he's saying to us that you can do this in his full strength and in his might. Do you hear who's not in there? Us. It's through him that we can accomplish these things. In your outline, you can see that the whole full armor of God is listed there. I'm not going to go through all of them, but do you see that there is the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and I call them the peace shoes, but also the sword of the Spirit. Why do you and I put on Christ? Because Christ wore our sins. He put on our sin, our shame, our guilt, and took it to Calvary. And he nailed it to the cross, letting the world know that you never have to dress this way anymore. And by faith, we can take that checklist, if you want to call it, and say, where am I not fully dressed? None of us in this room would go out half naked. Let's just be honest. We wouldn't. We would put on what we're going to wear for the day. But yet, are there times in our lives where God is asking us, you're not wearing that, are you? And he's not doing it in a condemning way. He's doing it because he wants what's best for us. He doesn't want us to miss out on what he has for us. And so who we're devoted to, it does impact our today. Let us wake up from our slumber. Let us put on Christ, because daylight is coming. So Paul gives us these passages in talking about loving others outside of our community of faith. But he also says that there's an important thing we need to remember, that the end is near. Jesus is coming. And so what does that mean for you and I today? Because we said who we're devoted to does impact our today. And so let's take a few moments together and talk about living a life that's built to last. Living a life that's built to last. The first that we see here this morning is that we live to love. We live to love. Now again, I think in our culture today, we've really watered down the word love. Because I love my family, but I also love buffalo wings. And what we're trying to say here, and I don't know about for men, I don't know about you, but when sometimes when I hear about the word love, I kind of shut down and tune out. Because we think it's maybe having to watch a rom-com, which is a romantic comedy, or whatever that may be. But what we're saying here, that this is a love that is active, given to us by God to show others. You know, it's active in the sense that, you know, it may have to go beyond having ice water poured on you. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong, but let's make sure we write those checks and send them in. But it's saying that I want to live a life that people know that there is a God who is real. And however I can play a part in that, then I want to do that. For us, for my family and I, we had an opportunity to support someone financially, someone in Tina's family. And we prayed about it and we said, is this the right thing to do? You know, because we could sponsor these or sponsor that or do this or that or the other thing. But what it came down to was we realized that this isn't our money. God has provided for us, and so we want to be a provision for others. This person's serving in another part of the world. This person doesn't live on very much. And yet we see all that we have. And I remember speaking with the mother of this missionary and saying, the money's not ours. But that's a huge step of faith. Because we can say it's our money. But what did it look like to love in that situation? And for some of us here today, it may not be a financial thing, but it may be just taking moments and asking the question, where can I show love to others? Maybe it's people who are in your family. Maybe it's a simple phone call. Maybe it's a simple word of encouragement. Maybe it's just a simple, you can have my shoulder to cry on. Whatever that may look like. But take the time this week to look for ways to show love to others. Because really, the choice is, am I going to choose to live selfish or selfless? But when we choose to live to love, we show others a love that has already been given to us. And not only that, when we live to love, we see that this love goes beyond any feeling or any emotion. So it's active. But yet we do get a great feeling when we help others, don't we? But let's see that it's an active love. And the second is this, not only do we live to love, but we live on purpose. We live on purpose. There's many companies and churches, and we're going to be touching on that in the next several weeks, where we're going to be taking some time to talk about experiencing Christ together, taking a biblical look at church membership. And there are organizations that have mission statements and purpose statements. And for many of you, you know that I enjoy Starbucks. Okay? Yeah, you're smiling because I love it. But their mission statement says this. It says, our mission, to inspire and nurture the human spirit, one person, one cup, and one neighborhood at a time. And so when I go into Starbucks, I know that Starbucks wants to create an experience for me. Not like that other place that America runs on, but I'm just saying that they want me to take time and stay there, to meet with people, and as I've shared in the past, I've already gotten to know people who frequent there as well. But they hold to this. They don't just one day go, well, we're just going to get off what our mission is, what our purpose is here as a company. But they want that atmosphere that makes me stay. And so when I thought about living on purpose, I thought about having my own personal mission or personal purpose statement. And I began to think about that, and I thought, wow, what does that really look like? Because I don't give coffee away. And so I want to share my personal mission statement with you. It's to make Jesus famous to the world around me. That's it. To make Jesus famous to the world around me. Now, where does that begin? That begins right here in my own heart. I have to say, is Jesus going to be the king of my heart, the Lord of my life? Am I going to live devoted to him? And then from there, I want to make Jesus famous in my own home. I want to make Jesus famous when I connect with the high school. I want to make Jesus famous when I'm at Giant. I want to make Jesus famous to even those who I'm deeply involved with. So that's for me. Now you may be thinking, well, I'm not a corporation, I'm not an organization, but what would that look like? What if you began to think about a personal purpose statement, a personal mission statement? As Rick Warren said in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, is that we were created or born on purpose for a purpose. That's what God wants from us. Because the decision that you and I can begin to make is that, do I really want to live with meaning? And you may know people, or even yourself may be asking, what is my purpose in life? Or what's this all about? But yet, when we choose to live on purpose, what happens is that we stay focused on God's cause. God's cause for the followers of Jesus Christ is to bring people back to himself. And we are a part of that cause. And so the other thing is that when we live on purpose, what God does in our lives is he, again, equips us, but he also reminds us of who our identity is in. It's in him. And so that's the challenge for us this week, is to begin to think about having a personal mission or purpose statement. But we want to live on purpose, because that's a life that is built to last. And not only do we live on purpose, but we live to love. Why is that? Because who we are devoted to impacts our today. And that you and I can live lives that are built to last. So we began with would you rather. Now I don't have any more would you rather questions, but I thought more of having the question of what would it look like? And so really for us today, what would it look like if we chose to live a life devoted to Christ? What would be different about your life? What behaviors or attitudes or patterns would change? What would it look like if you truly allowed God to transform and renew your heart and your mind? What would it look like if you chose to love others the way that Christ has loved you? What would that look like? What would it look like to commit your life to live for God's purposes in this world? Whatever that may be. Again, we talked about that when we first started our series. And how God has wired you, that's how he wants you to live out his purposes in this world. And his purpose is for people to come into relationship with him, for him to be glorified, for him to be made great in this world. So what would that look like if you made that decision today? Because again, who we're devoted to impacts our today. But here's where it begins. It begins by saying, God, it's got to begin with you. If we think that we can do this by our own abilities, in our own strength, in our own knowledge, then we've missed the mark. But it begins by saying, God, it begins with you. And if we choose to say, God, it begins with you, let us understand these words that are found in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. It says, this calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for people who are wholly devoted to him. So let's do that. I know it's not easy at times. Let us be people who have a commitment to Christ, to love those in this world who may be unlovable, who may be difficult, but see them as Christ sees them. And let's live in the hope that we have as we look forward to what's to come. Father, we come to you this morning, and we just want to say thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, God, for being patient with us. Thank you for never pointing your finger at us and saying how wrong we've been or how broken we are. But Lord, thank you for extending your hand of grace to us. Thank you, God, for your devotion towards us. Lord, we need you to show us how to see people the way you see them. Lord, if there are situations in our own lives and where we find it difficult to love, God, may we draw strength from you. May we choose to wear your full armor. May we not choose to think that we have the best outfit. Lord, may we see that the world that we live in now is broken, but yet you sent your son. May we rest in that truth. Lord, may we be people who say, God, it's yours. All that I have is yours. I want today to be a day where I stand to proclaim that you are Lord, that you are my God, and I will live for you as I wait for your glorious return. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,